Thank you all for waiting. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from last month?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all. We're going to skip to number 97 for Legislator Green. She has another meeting, and we're going to move this along for her. And 97 is setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 8 of 18, a law amending local law of 6 of 14 to improve and strengthen the sustainable energy loan program.
So moved.
Second it.
Thank you. Manna?
Well, the main thing, I think, first of all, state law changed since we passed our law in 2014. And it is allowing a little bit more flexibility, and that will result in fewer failed applications. What they found the first time around is the 10% limit in terms of you could install a solar system or do an energy retrofit as long as the cost didn't exceed 10% of the property value, and I believe that's up to like 35%. It also allows for off-site development of solar as part of the project, and it allows for municipalities that don't have as good a credit rating as Ulster County does. The first version didn't include municipalities because they have the ability to bond, so their interest rate is going to be low for these projects. But there are some municipalities that could benefit because they don't have such good credit rating but may want to engage in these. So those are some of the things that I got out of reading the memo, but I don't know if anybody has questions. It's sort of standard. Everyone who has an agreement, and let me just back up and say, this is one of many financing mechanisms. People can just go to the bank, and there are many banks now in Ulster County that are financing solar systems and energy retrofits, and even at sometimes a discounted rate. But this is a streamlined way that if you're a property owner, you use the value of your property as... This is probably somebody calling me back because I had a question.
They probably want a loan.
Sorry.
Anyway, we're move this along.
Okay.
I think that we may have more questions after the public hearing.
That's true.
And if you can come back at when that's ready, and all in favor of sending this to a public hearing?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Do we want to move the DOE ahead?
Thanks. Yes. Okay, we're going to skip to 73 for the BOE. Thank you for showing up today. This is authorizing the chairman of Ulster County to sign an intergovernment agreement with various school districts. This is something that we've been doing in the past. And if anybody has any questions for Ashley or Patty, feel free. Otherwise, we can vote on it real quick.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any questions? Bye. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry. Don't worry. You're lucky Sanex on left hand. What's that say? Hey, nice.
Number one? Okay. We're going to go back to the beginning. Resolution number 10, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 2 of 18. That's amending local law number 5 of 91. Adopting a hotel motel room occupancy tax to update the tax law application to short-term and vacation rentals. This public hearing will be on April 10th.
I'll move it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Second?
Second.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any discussion? I'm sorry, Joe.
So I just got, I saw the a press release that went out. Maybe Mr. Cornell could explain if this is going to do what we were trying to do with number 10 here. I'm completely comfortable either putting it off and learning more about what the executive's proposal is, or pulling it all together and be done with it. If we're getting this, if what I saw today, I read it quick. I didn't see it till literally I was on my way over. I was trying to be in the driving stoplights. But it appears we have a private firm. I talked to John real quick. He seemed happy with it. So if it's going to do what we were trying to do here and more, that is gather as many of these short-term, you know, rental bed taxes we can, along with even being able to create a list, which is what all these municipalities want, I'm okay with pulling it or putting it off while we learn about it to see if it is as good as it sounds.
Ken, do you want to chime in?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think that, you know, as everyone knows, the administration has struggled with the notion of this voluntary agreement with Airbnb. You know, Airbnb is one of many providers that provides, you know, a hosting platform, so people that can provide short-term rentals with their personal house or a room in their house. And you know, towns all across our county are struggling with this issue. In fact, you know, municipalities across the country are struggling with it. And to us, it came down to two basic things. The biggest one was transparency. I mean, the agreement that's been presented to the legislature to look at essentially shields the name of the people hosting the properties from us. So if we were to sign this agreement, we would not be able to know who's hosting a short-term rental and how much activity there is. We basically would get a payment, and it, you know, and our ability to audit that would be limited to that payment. We wouldn't be able to look at the specific data. So struggle with that issue. And then we also have been working with our towns through the planning department. They're looking at, you know, changes to their code enforcement ordinances, looking to their zoning, and struggling to get their arms around it. You know, we suspect there's about 2,000 properties that are being offered for short-term rental. One town supervisor told us this week that someone actually has a boat on a trailer sitting in their yard that they offer as a short-term rental. You know, how do you get your arms around that? So knowing that transparency was a big issue, we started exploring what other municipalities around the country have done, and some have sought the expertise of professional firms that do data mining and provide you with a full inventory of all the properties that are being offered in your county for short-term rental. And this goes way beyond people that use Airbnb. This you know, there's over close to 100 platforms that they look at to create the list. So essentially, we've contracted with a firm. That contract is, we're finalizing it now. So you know, within 8 to 10 weeks, we're going to have a full inventory of every property that's available. And as part of that, we bought a package that also provides shortcuts on the administrative burden of doing the enforcement, the letters, and whatnot. And we're actually going to have an online portal so people that are offering short-term rentals can more easily register with the Department of Finance for occupancy tax. We also partnered with the Ulster County Lodging Coalition that's going to help us with those educational efforts. And then lastly, the piece that I know the towns were excited about is that we're going to propose a template municipal intermunicipal agreement with each town that they can then receive from us a full listing of all the properties that are being offered for short-term rental in their various towns. We're still working on the template of the agreement, I suspect that it will provide the data free of charge in a computerized format. We'll probably tie it to GIS somehow so they can map it. We'll provide them with maps and data. And then also discuss that if they do permit, perhaps some type of a permit for short-term rentals, that they make the condition for their permit, one of the conditions for their permit, is that people register and pay the Ulster County occupancy tax. And we'll start working that out. And we'll be working a meeting with the town supervisors in the morning at their breakfast meeting to start the conversation. We'll develop a template that we'll provide to them.
Go ahead, Joe.
Would it be acceptable to push this off 1 month? At the end of that month, if I feel satisfied, I'll just pull it altogether.
I think that would be very acceptable.
If I could make it together with Ken and go through it.
I'll make a motion to postpone it.
Second.
Favor of postponement?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. I've just been informed that, Kathy, you got another meeting too, don't you?
I do.
And we're going to skip to your resolution, if you don't mind. That is number 70, number 4 on the list here. And that is setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 7 of 18, a local law to reduce addiction to tobacco products by raising the minimum age for their purchase to 21. Should be held on Tuesday, April 10th.
So moved.
I'm not moving. Well, you moved it, right?
Yeah.
Second.
So this is setting the public hearing. There will be some information that folks will be receiving tomorrow that came to the chairman today about the reasoning for it, but is essentially to standardize tobacco product sales with what we now do with alcohol sales at age 21, and for similar reasons. People between 18 and 21 don't handle the responsibility of having access to these substances well. And in this case, they're providing the cigarettes and smoking products to younger age people. And addiction starting earlier is harder to deal with and a longer, harder road for people. So this would do what it says. It would try to break that cycle. And I appreciate it if you can support moving it to a public hearing so we can hear more about it.
All in favor of sending it to a public hearing?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you. Oh, just one other thing.
You're going to have to come back to old business.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I forgot. The New York State is sending around a survey to legislators, and so everybody should receive that in their email or a phone call, and it's about legislative efforts to deal with products like tobacco. It's just your opinions, and so I encourage everybody to participate.
Is it from the Department of Health?
It's from the Department of Health. Yeah.
No, they're very persistent.
Did you take the survey?
Yes, I did.
Good. Thank you very much.
7 phone calls.
48 questions in 3 parts, right?
Yeah.
It only took 10 minutes online, so maybe that's the way to go.
We're going to jump back to the top, number 2, and that is resolution number 26, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 5 of 18, amending the Ulster County Charter and amending the administrative code for the County of Ulster. Clarify budget modifications after adoption to be held on Tuesday, April 10th.
Move it.
A second on that.
Second.
Question, is 26 tied to 60? Babe.
No.
No.
No, no. This is yours. You want to...
Yep, it was something we put in last year, and I think it failed by one vote. Anyway, and it was a question on how to go about this. Is the charter reads that you cannot reduce the salary of an employee. My understanding was when it was written, it meant that you can't reduce the line. In other words, moving money from personnel lines into policy or equipment and such is typically not allowed in most municipalities, and this is sort of setting that up. The only thing it would bother would be that you're not allowed to move the lines out of personnel lines. I mean, if you move them out of personnel lines, you can actually, it allows the executive to set policy in a sense. That's about all.
Yes, Ken, go ahead.
I know I've heard Legislator Donaldson say this a couple of times, so I just want to just correct it for the record. I've heard him say that most municipalities don't allow this type of an internal transfer. In a charter county, that is not the case. In every county charter I've ever worked with or know, that you can't do transfers within departments, but within a department, you can transfer from one line to any other category, as we do here in Ulster County. So if the legislature were to adopt this policy, of course, without getting into that, you know, we would be the only county in the state that stops the county executive from transferring within lines within the departmental budget. So every other county in the state currently, a charter county, operates the same way that Ulster County does.
Okay, I'm going to let Joe go, and then Dave could follow up.
I believe there are a couple other counties. I don't have the sheets. There, it was a little different than what we're trying to do here, but it was similar in their intent. They may not be charter counties, though. And that doesn't sway my feeling on it. I think it's completely acceptable to not move money from payroll lines. I think we can see some examples through the years of money being moved in and out of certain lines that I think is not great accounting. So I'm one of the reasons I'm on this. I'm very comfortable with this, and it doesn't, for us to be the first charter, maybe we'll be the first of three or four over the next couple of years. But that's certainly not a reason for me not to be in support of this.
Dave?
There has been personnel lines that have been empty for more, well over a year. And I feel that it's being used inappropriately to move money from there to others. Now, there's other ways of moving money. They have on many other areas. We have contingency accounts and so on. So my mindset is that when they did the charter, it was meant that you can't move money out of personnel lines into non-personnel lines. And it doesn't stop anybody from, and it doesn't stop them from moving money for overtime and things of that nature. They can still move money for overtime, and that's, that's an understandable thing. You're using it for other personnel.
Can you follow up?
It just is correct the record one time, Mr. Chairman. But I said, I know that Mr. Donaldson raises this issue of these phantom budget positions. We have all these vacancies that we never fill. In fact, this is based upon a report that the county controller did a year ago. We dealt with this during the last budget cycle. If you recall, the minority leader brought a resolution to take, vacant budget positions, and the Ways and Means Committee with their staff did that analysis, and in the end, the truth is there were only a handful of positions that haven't been filled for multiple years. There's not these phantom positions, there's not large amounts of money that's not appropriately allocated. In fact, the truth is this goes back to the issue with regard to when we had the, we did a mailing regarding the family court. And we had done a postcard, and quite frankly, I remember meeting with the Ways and Means Committee. You could check the minutes where we talked about how we were going to have a campaign to let the residents know that we were going to have a ballot initiative. I know that the chairman and the minority leader saw that draft ballot before it went out and signed off on it. Because the purchasing department, where we did, had central mailing, only had a couple of places to move money, that we chose to take the money for that mailing out of a personnel line. That's the issue here, because this is not a chronic problem. The issue, when we do take something out of a personnel line, it's usually for something very major, something unexpected, and we provided this data to the legislature over multiple times. But there aren't phantom positions, there's not a lot of money in the budget for personnel lines. And there's only been a couple of times there's been a move-in. Again, this all goes back to the dispute over this mailing for family court that upset Legislator Donaldson a couple of years ago.
I got one follow-up question, and then Heidi, and then I'll let the rest of them go. When you say you ran it by the leadership of this mm-hmm. body, and they signed off on it, if they didn't sign off on it, would that have gone out anyway?
No. So with regard, so I want to. Talking about the postcard that we sent out?
Yes.
Yeah, so it was done, again, I can show you the minutes where it was discussed at Ways and Means Committee, and a draft of that document was shown to the, which we were taking, again, at the time we were taking their input. I mean, we were all looking to promote the notion that there was a ballot initiative for our residents at the time. I remember the meeting, I remember saying on the record that we were going to have an aggressive marketing campaign.
Heidi?
Kind of a follow-up to what you had said. I'm just wondering what the procedure is for. Can the executive just go and transfer these funds in and out of lines, or does it come back to the legislature? How do we? My concern is that moving forward, we by adopting this, we could prevent us from actually needing to move money in the future from a line to another line, and will this...
If the legislator moving lines within a departmental budget is very common. It happens all the time. It happens every day from one line to the other. The only time the legislature approves of a transfer is if we modify the budget to add or take away money, and also if we move money from one department to another department. But essentially, the legislature adopts a budget for the department, and then we have some flexibility in moving lines. And every charter county in the state provides that flexibility to the county executive.
Dave, and then Joe.
Yeah, this does not in any way stop that. It just and those handful of positions are too many, and there's been more in the past, and they have whittled it down. The point is that moving money out of the personnel lines, yes, and the reason we found out about it, and in fact, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee didn't think they were, even when I pointed out that that's where the money came from in order to run those political ads. When I pointed that out to the chairman of Ways and Means, he goes, oh no, they can't move money out of personnel lines. I said, well, they did, and here it is. And we found out where they moved them from. And it had is the only brought attention to it. It had nothing to do with why it brought attention. And I kind of resent that you're making it that's why I'm doing it. It's not why. It's brought my attention to it. And that's the point. And it brought the attention to others. And that's why the last time around, it actually had 11 votes. The Democratic caucus voted, supported it. And they supported it because they, too, felt that money should not be moved out of personnel lines. It doesn't stop them from moving money out of any other line within departments. Nobody wants to stop that.
Thank you, David. Joe and then Ken can follow up.
This is for a public hearing, right? This is what this votes on. And we did just watch two unanimous votes for a public hearing just because it was a public hearing. I'm pretty sure there are votes, yes votes there that won't be there if it ever makes it to the floor or back to committee when they vote on it again. So this is a public hearing. I did not know this was going to turn into an open debate about the subject. I'm used to these public hearings going to public hearing. That's the only comment I'll make.
Yeah, thanks. I guess I'll come back to the... And I had said that I was concerned that Legislator Donaldson was trying to, you know, rehash an old issue because he was upset. He just called the postcard that we sent to every resident of the county a political ad. So I think
it was. It basically was.
It was a postcard telling our residents that there was a ballot proposition.
And the ballot proposition was absurd the way it was written.
Again, the political motivation is pretty apparent.
That was pretty absurd.
Mr. Heppner?
Saving children and everything on the ballot. I mean, that was crazy.
First of all, I always think even if it is a public hearing, it's, you know, a good time to start having that conversation because we don't get as more limited in our times to, you know, discuss and debate these issues, you know, within the committee. But I look at this a little bit differently. To me, this has nothing to do with the Family Corps mailer, or I think, you know, currently we're lucky to have a very well-managed and budgeted county. I look at it as something for the future. I think if you, hopefully in a time far, far away when none of us are here anymore, there's always the opportunity to have poor management at the top. And I think this is just a way of ensuring that such an opportunity to abuse this current system is not in place. I don't think it's a reflection on current leadership. I think it's a reflection on how can we do our jobs to prevent misuse of this. I don't really want to use the term loophole in the future. So that's why I find it hard not to support such an action.
Well, I guess I'll finish up, unless anybody else has something to add. I've always been a proponent.
The only thing I would, Chair, if I could,
go ahead.
The only thing, just as a comment, not a policy issue, of course, is the fact that it is, as Legislator Heppner was just pointing out, it's the council's position that because this is a curtailment of the power of the executive, that it should go to referendum, and there's no reference to referendum in the proposed local law. So to the extent that there's any concern about that, we would advise that it be modified to reflect it accordingly.
Go ahead.
Our attorney said that it didn't require a referendum.
What was Nick's opinion?
It requires a referendum.
It's been my...
as well as the county attorney's opinion as well.
Okay. It's been my opinion that I've never been a big fan. I think the executive has been doing a good job for the most part budgeting the money. I don't want to... I respect your position on this, Dave, but I don't want to tie his hands if he has to make a decision rapidly, you know, without our oversight. Anybody else? All in favor of sending this to a public hearing?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
You don't want the public there? Okay.
Not if it requires it going to referendum. And it's not, if it's not.
And they would say, then damn.
We're going to clean it up and bring it back.
It doesn't require a referendum. It's a clarity.
Give me a shout tomorrow. We're going to go to number three, resolution number 60, amending the 2018 county budget to restore funding for the position of confidential secretary to the office of comptroller. Mr. Gallo, do you want to start? Is that why you're here, I take it?
Just a little piece of everything. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the committee for considering the comptroller's proposal. Two quick points that I'd just like to make as part of the deliberations. First, I'd like to echo...
Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't move this.
Move it.
I get a second, Jonathan.
I was on the left.
Heidi. Jonathan, do you want to second this?
I'll second it.
Go ahead, Mr. Gallo. I apologize.
Thank you. First, I'd like to echo some of the sponsors' comments as well as their colleagues in the necessity to preserve the integrity of the office, and what this proposal would do is move employees back to their essential functions and off of the necessity to man the front office. Secondly, we respectfully request to be treated on par with all of our brothers and sisters as elected officials, as well as most other department heads in having a confidential secretary. And just to underscore that point, I would like to pass out just briefly memos that we shared with leadership back in November for budget cycle, specifically the takeaway being that our salary would be below the average for both elected officials as well as department heads, confidential secretaries, or related positions. So, thank you for your
questions.
Okay.
You want to take 2 minutes to read this, or
the spreadsheet is on the back.
Gallo, how many employees are in the comptroller's office now?
Let me go one by one. One comptroller, one deputy comptroller, one director of internal audit and control, two senior auditors, and two claims auditors.
How many fingers is that?
No, six.
Okay.
Including a controller.
have a question.
Yes, Joe.
Is there a single department head or elected official that doesn't have at least one confidential secretary besides the comptroller?
Elected officials, no. Department heads may have a similar title as far as either secretary to the department head, or similar capacity, but at least a secretary position as far as the leaves. There may be some outliers.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Yes, sir.
To Mr. Gallo, through you to Mr. Gallo. Who held that position prior?
The confidential secretary?
Yes.
Dan Torre.
And if everyone recalls, I know, I believe Legislator Donaldson was at the 2017 for the 2018 budget, the budget hearings, when our controller came to that budget hearing. And he described that person, I believe, and I quote, as a utility infielder. That it would be a kind of a multitasking position. And that is where, you know, I think a broader conversation needs to happen on exactly what this person would be doing.
Joe, and then Dave.
If we're going to have a conversation such as that, I'd be really uncomfortable not having that same conversation about every confidential secretary. Have we ever once asked Holly Conroy or Tom Jackson or anybody else in the county about what their confidential secretary does and then hold their feet to the fire on whether they're worthy of one or not? It seemed to be a bit...
Mr. Chairman, with all due respect to Legislator Joseph Maloney, when you go over to the naturalization ceremony and that confidential secretary is there, when you see that whatever person going up and down Wall Street and was working and doing other things on county time, that's what needs to be the broader discussion.
I'm going to go Dave, then Joe could follow up.
Well, I mean, what somebody uses their confidential secretary for is often different depending on the office. And some people use them, in other words, some people use them to fill in for others at points. Sometimes they use them to help actually direct. There's a lot of work that confidential secretaries can do and may do or may not do. I mean, as Legislator Joe Maloney was pointing out, I mean, are we going to zero in on each confidential secretary to find out exactly what each one of them are doing? I mean, if that's what we should do, then maybe we should do that. And maybe none of these people should have confidential secretaries then. But I mean, if you're going to have a controller's position, of which we do by charter, we passed that by charter to have a controller's position, we need to fund it properly. And funding it properly requires a confidential secretary along with those people that are auditors. Otherwise, now if you don't like the way they're doing the job, A, you can run against them. B, you can put in a resolution to amend the charter and say to get rid of the controller's position if you feel it's not needed. But it, according to the charter, it's in there, and if we're not funding it properly, then we're not living up to our part of the bargain. I mean, even the chairman of the legislature was a part-time person as a confidential secretary. And it was political in getting rid of the person because they didn't like him. Now, I understand, I really feel that people in those positions shouldn't be political at all, to be honest with you. Sometimes they are, though. I mean, you've seen other confidential secretaries are also political. I don't think it's a good idea to be that way because it does bring heat on you and it brings heat on your office. So, but having said that, I have to turn around and say, it's a confidential secretary is needed in the position. That's a given.
I hear you, Dave. And again, through the chair to Mr. Gallo, can the controller's office, and I know you have a CPA in the office, but can they put forth an audit that is
equal to county or general accounting standards, approved accounting standards.
Absolutely.
There, I understand there's a CPA, but are they a certified auditor?
She follows GAAP. She follows the Internal Institute of Auditing. There is much guidance that they go for the as far as planning.
Thank you, Joan and Jonathan.
I'd just like to say I think we ought to be careful before we're questioning. I mean, I don't know if you went through before you went along with terminating the individual. Did you ask him those questions yourself? Did you check his time card before you, in a public way, start talking about somebody's career and what they did on company time? You have evidence to back that up. The guy lost his job over it. I think your second question kind of lends me to believe that this is personal, that this is about the comptroller's office. I think you guys had put up two people to be terminated out of, they only had three appointed positions in the whole comptroller's office. I mean, when you start looking around at different departments, you don't have to look far. Nina Postepak has three deputies, just deputies. The comptroller had three appointed positions, and the budget that rolled out a year ago had two of those positions being cut out of it, both of which had been offered jobs by the exec. When not taken, they get terminated. I just think that we have to have an honest conversation here about what's really going on, and I believe this is about oversight for the exec and any way to whittle away a bit of that budget. And, you know,
it has nothing to do with the exec. There has nothing to do with the exec. I want to know what that confidential secretary will be doing.
There should have been a job description included in here.
But I think a larger conversation when the controller stands before the Ways and Means Committee, it's kind of like a utility infielder. It's kind of a gray area in my book.
I do think that description is somewhat fitting, though, as far as filling in the gaps with the priority of the front office and front house presence there. They do lend themselves to be a jack of all trades at that point. Not just
they're the ones that actually, if you went up there, that was the person that came and greeted you when you wanted something. And at the same time, he's doing work for the comptroller because, in other words, he's using the position in many different ways. He's using it as the greeter. Here, when you come in, you see Nettie. But Nettie's job is something other than just being there. And the difference is with the comptroller, he did that, but he also did confidential work for the comptroller. Which, of course, you know, the controller who's doing audits and things of that nature, you want some confidentiality in certain things that are going on. I mean, that's a given. And as a result, so he's talking to him about being a utility infielder because that's the way he describes it in a baseball term, probably hanging out with John Parody too much. Maybe, I don't know. That's the way John likes to describe things. But, I mean, you know, that's what they're doing. You know, he's shooting from here. He's going back over to the other. And then if somebody's out for the day, he's probably taking their calls. If somebody comes in, that's what the person's going to do. No matter who it's going to be, he's going to need somebody that's going to be flexible and be able to do different things.
Jonathan and Heidi.
So I would say, first, you know, if we want to really look at staffing and the current state of staffing in the county, in Ulster County government, you know, I would be supportive of this legislature approving a countywide independent analysis of staffing to ensure that we are accurately filling different departments, different agencies, different elected offices. Go even further, I think, would be beneficial. We could look at pay equity. We could look at a lot of things. But I have serious concern with the hyper-focus on one position. And I understand if people have concerns with the elected official at the head of that department. Everyone has their right to that. But again, like what Legislator Donaldson said, you know, in this position that was created, that's what elections are for. But if my colleagues want to have a countywide talk about staff analysis, I'm more than open to that. But again, I think this hyper focus is a really concerning precedent, especially if you do have concerns with the elected official at top, and that's where the focus should be, but in the right way, which is why we have it as an elected position, because you can challenge that record.
Heidi?
Well, I agree that if we're going to have a department, we need to adequately staff it, but I'm just confused. We're in, like, April. Who's been doing the duties of that former staffer? How are they getting along?
We all share in that vote. That's been for about a year and 4 months. Once that butt left the seat, we all pick up pieces as they sort of.
Same thing any office would do without a confidential secretary. Do we have a number on how many there actually are? Or 25, 20, somewhere around there?
I don't think so. Just
has the county ever spent a second talking about any other one? I mean, honestly.
Never. And I've been here for 24 years. Yeah. And never.
All in favor of 60?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution 71, appointing Chairman Ronk as the Ulster County Legislature member to serve on the County Jury Board.
I move it.
Second.
Discussion?
Is a position that is typically held by the Chairman of the Legislature. It is a position, there's three different people. It is the Supreme Court Justice, the County Judge, and the Chairman of the Legislature are the three people who serve on that jury board, and they decide who is going to, run the juries.
That's the special one.
Very good. Thanks for the explanation on that. All in favor of 71?
Aye. Yes.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Skip into the back. We're going to 78.
We've got a lot of work to do, buddy.
Amending the rules of order to permit memorializing resolutions. Joe, you...
Is it open? You brought it up?
Yeah, well, let me get somebody...
Oh, make a motion. Yep.
First and second. And Joe, go ahead, please.
So, one way or another... This is going to get brought back up, and I had a lot of issues watching. I remember when Rich Parody stood up and said, voted on $12 million in bond approvals or spending, and now we're going to spend 45 minutes on, something that's not necessarily in our job description. So I understand why they were taken out, but like I said, they are going to be put back up one way or another, whether they get enough votes to be brought back in. If they weren't used, and if they were used for the right reason, in my mind, certain environmental issues that affect certain areas, FIT chargebacks, asking the state to act on things like that, I think that's what they're for. So I threw it up with that caveat that said, if it uniquely affects, what it would allow us to do as well as is when somebody puts something up, maybe, go back to Rich Parody. He was in a tough spot. He was for affordable care, but he didn't want to talk about affordable care in the legislature. So he was in a tough spot voting against it, upsetting people. This would allow us to vote against something because it doesn't uniquely, but while still maybe being for it. In my mind, there's four ways to go about it if you are going to bring it back. You can just bring it back, more or less what I did. You can do it on a separate day, which I've discussed with people. You have one every two or three months. You have a memorializing resolution night. You do have to turn the lights on. Mileage, there is a slight cost to that if that's the way you want to do it, but it wouldn't cut into. The other one would be at the end of session. Dave has brought that up, so it does not cut into policy and our number one job, which is fund appropriation.
And then another solution that I think both Kathy Nolan and Ken Roth have mentioned would be like a pre-submission expectation, like a certain amount of signatures before you even brought it to the floor. So I threw it up. This is not near and dear to my heart. So I, you know, one way or another, it's going to be brought up and voted on, and I thought this would be an interesting way to do it. Also remind people that there is, you know, we do have a job to do, and I really believe that memorializing resolutions exist for that reason. It's things that we cannot control that the state or the federal government does, that we can go and ask them, ask another body to act on something that's affecting us in Ulster County uniquely, and maybe that's why it hasn't been acted on, because it's not affecting much of the country. So I know the public, many people in the public on both sides of the aisle like this ability, and you know, respect the right, but that's where I'm at on it. So I don't know where this is going, or I know everybody's got different opinions on it.
You know, I like some of the ideas you brought up. You know, I don't think the one having a special night is a starter. I like the fact that maybe have it at the end of the night.
Yeah, that's Dave's.
You know,
that's what I suggested.
That's a great idea. You know, all right. You know, legislators like myself or Kathy Nolan to have almost, 45 minutes to an hour to drive, want to take off, you know, instead of sitting there. I don't think anybody would be overly offended by that. I do like that idea. And I think this maybe needs a little more discussion so we can get this done and get it done and, fairly. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I have some mixed emotions on this, of course. I mean, I think people should have the right to put a resolution in and memorializing resolutions, but in some cases they have been abused, and probably last year was one of that times, and then earlier I remember our present chairman abused them for a while, putting those in. In fact, I was threatened. I was actually physically threatened over a memorializing resolution by a bunch of wackos, maybe because I call them wackos, but...
Which one?
That was the one, well, basically they were cowards. I mean, the guy, one guy was...
It was the topic.
It was the topic on the SAFE Act, repealing the SAFE Act, and we had the meeting at UPAC. And a woman came up and spoke and was talking about her child being shot 3 or 4 times. And they started booing her, told her she should get her kid a job. So that's when I called them a bunch of cowards, and they got mad. So I got a number of emails threatening my life and all that, which, you know, that's fine.
You're still here.
I'm still here. It was funny, though, the people that on the... my fellow legislators seem to move away from me a little bit.
They do that on any given day.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, I understand that these things are passionate for a lot of people. And they bring out a lot of people. And sometimes, you know, as Joe pointed out, we have no control over them. But people want to hear from us, is what they do sometimes. So my mindset would be that perhaps you do the memorializing resolutions, allow them, but they are a separate meeting after the monthly meeting. In other words, it's held separately and along with the public comment on those.
So public comment wouldn't be at the beginning of the night, it would be a second public comment.
It would be a second public comment and a second meeting. It would be like a second meeting. You would have the meeting of the board of the body, and then taking care of the business at hand that we have. And then at the end of the night, if we have a memorializing resolution, you will then convene the regular meeting and start a special meeting on memorializing resolutions. So that way you're not, you know, opening the doors up a second time. You're not bringing in a special meeting. You're not, if you feel like hanging out because you're interested in it, you do. If you don't, you don't. But I mean, I think that would curtail, you know, them being abused so much, because, you know, if Kevin Roberts keeps on putting in these memorializing resolutions and keeping me there, I'm going to start getting pissed, and you and I are not going to be buddies anymore. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what's going to end up happening. You know, so I think it would curtail it.
Joe, you want to follow up?
You want to push it off a month and see if we can come up with something? Everybody can.
Yeah, I'll make a motion to postpone it, and we'll have some further discussion on this. And if anybody wants to get to talk to, you know, Joe about it or myself about it, on what they think is the best way to go, please feel free to do that.
I'll send an email out to the entire legislature and ask for any opinions on it. I'll tell them that the laws and rules was leaning towards an end of the night type solution.
Is that everybody in favor of that, or?
I'm just open to suggestions.
Second to postpone.
Yeah.
Second.
Yeah.
Joe, Jim? What are you thinking? How you feel?
I think it needs work, which should be what's.
I think there's a will to get this passed by the entire body, and I think we got to, you know, do something to somewhat.
And could you?
If I could just add one thing, just since you're going to be thinking about it for the next month, the language regarding whether it specifically addresses Ulster County is. Well, can be open to about a dozen different interpretations. So while you're working on it, you may want to just consider that and think of some ways that you can tighten that up.
We're swapping. That'll go out. And at this point, I mean, if I'm hearing from the majority of the legislature that they like this end of night thing, yeah. As soon as this conversation began, that the last couple of words there were being pulled out.
Mm.
I'd even been told that the chairman would have the right to almost possibly say that doesn't, you know, so it was going to be a can of worms.
Well, the problem is it's vague, and as you're pointing out, and what happens is the chairman could make the argument that it's out of order because it doesn't pertain.
Yeah, right, and that challenge, I mean, substantively, the challenge probably couldn't hold up because who's to say it's not?
Yeah, who's going to make, how can you decide?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The intent was not to hold it up, but to give us
Perhaps the one, the memorializing resolution to request that China get out of Tibet, maybe that one would hold up. That was a memorializing resolution, by the way, that was passed by this body.
Unless you have somebody here who has a second home in China, and then they can somehow...
I need a motion to postpone this.
You have a second.
You got a second. All in favor of postpone?
Aye.
Thank you all. Do we have any new or old business before I entertain the motion to adjourn? Here or none. Dave, is that a motion?
Yep. It's a motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
I got it. Yeah, I know. Thank you.